Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Parley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're glad you're with us today. On this broadcast, we want to hear from you. If it's top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and this is your opportunity to come into the studio and speak directly with us right now. That call-in number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're inching ever closer to the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. As the angel appeared to Joseph, he said, you're going to have a son, you're going to name him Jesus, and then he shall be called Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means God with us. And that's the story of the gospel, that Christ has cleansed us once and for all through his shed blood. He's forgiven our sins so that he could come and take up residence with us, to be in us, to live with us forever. And I want you to think about something. If you are a believer, Jesus does indeed live in you, and he cannot live in an unclean vessel.
Right.
So this name Emmanuel speaks volumes about the work that Jesus did to cleanse us once and for all so that he could be with us forever. And Andrew, oftentimes we just look at the forgiveness of sins and we don't ask the question, why did he do that? Why did he forgive our sins? And I think this name of Jesus, Emmanuel, answers that question in a wonderful and beautiful way, doesn't it?
Yes. You know, God is known as I Am. We have him in the present, and we always will. Tomorrow he'll be our I Am, next week, next month, next year. And we say, well, what if I sin too much? What if I flub it up? What if I mess it up? What if I keep repeating the same sins over and over? And to that, we just have to say, well, welcome to the struggle of planet Earth. I mean, the Apostle James says that we all stumble in many ways, and yet that's exactly why there's a twofold aspect to the gospel here. I mean, forgiveness on one side, and then the new life on the other. And the new life is permanent because anything that would ruin it would be known as sin. And you think about why the Spirit of God left Adam. That was sin. And why will the Spirit of God never leave us? Well, because our sins have been taken away, removed as far as the east is from the west, remembered no more. So blessed is the man whose sins the Lord does not take into account. So we have the forgiveness and the cleansing that is permanent and just rock solid forever, because the life also is eternal and rock solid and permanent. So when God makes us this promise that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, nobody can snatch you out of my hand, even when you are faithless, which would be sin, when we're faithless, even then he remains faithful. Nothing separates us from the love of Christ. And, you know, you can look at this, it's kind of like the blind men hanging on to different parts of the elephant trying to describe it, but this is a beautiful salvation that we have, and the gospel is God shouting from the rooftops that I'm with you always, throughout eternity, and that eternity begins right now.
Absolutely. Well, our 2020 Basic Gospel calendar has a series of memes, just sayings that really bring these truths to life. And on the June month, we have this particular quote. Think about it. If you are a believer, Jesus lives in you, and he cannot live in an unclean vessel. We want to put this calendar in your hands. It's our way of saying thank you this month for your gift to help support the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ and connect people all over the world to the love of God. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift this month. So
absolutely.
Give and give generously.
Absolutely. Well, you can do that by going to basicgospel.net, prominent link right on the home page. Just click that donate button, and we would love for you to partner with us. Well, let's go to our phones, Bob, and let's see. You want to go to...
let's talk with Cynthia real fast.
Okay, here we go. Cynthia?
Hi, this is Cynthia, and I was just calling and asking, how do you know you have the Holy Spirit? Thank you. Bye.
Well, that's an important question, isn't it, Andrew?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know, what we don't want to do, first of all, is try to survey our feelings, survey our emotions to try to figure out, okay, what does the Holy Spirit feel like? Because remember that we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. It never says in soul and emotion, meaning that you're going to feel an electric buzz or feel some sort of wonderful way every day as you recognize the Holy Spirit is in you. No, John writes and he says, I write you these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, Jesus says that he stands at the door and knocks. Whoever opens the door, he will come in. So that's a promise. So what I'm saying here is that the presence of the Holy Spirit in us is a knowing, not a feeling. And it comes down to whether we believe in the truthfulness of God. If God says that his desire is none perish, then that means he desires everyone to be saved. That means how many doors is he knocking at? Well, he's knocking at every door of every human heart. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever opens the door of their lives to Jesus, well, Jesus is already there, itching to come in, waiting to come in, eager to come in. He is more eager to save us than we are to be saved. And so we can put our confidence in that eagerness and in that truthfulness and in that promise. So, Bob, you know, we don't want to survey our feelings to say, well, how righteous do I feel today? How close do I feel today? How new do I feel today? And look, the enemy would have a heyday with that, stealing our joy and killing our contentment. Instead, we're supposed to walk in truth, and we're supposed to worship in spirit and truth. It's a knowing, not a feeling. And at the end of the day, when your head hits that pillow, my friends, what we do is we put stock in the truthfulness of God, in the promises of God, and we can take those to the bank.
Let me throw one more thing in there, Andrew, and kind of toss this to you. You know, it's not a feeling, it's truth. It's knowing that truth is revealed to us in the Word of God, and certainly the Spirit of God is going to make himself known in our hearts. He's going to bear witness with our human spirit that indeed we are children of God. But it seems like a lot of people are also looking for an experience. You know, I want some confirming sign that Christ's spirit is living in me. And maybe it's speaking in tongues. Maybe it's being slayed in the spirit. Maybe it's something else like that validates the truth. Now, is that something that people need to look to have some type of an experience, or does it just get back to believing the promise of God concerning the giving of his spirit to all those who believe and trust in Jesus?
Well, I think it's a distraction. When we start looking at the gifts rather than the giver, then we're going to contradict 1 Corinthians 12. It says, not all have gifts of healing, do they? Not all have gifts of tongues, do they? All don't speak in tongues. So this idea that we have to have a particular gift as evidence of the Holy Spirit is just plain wrong. 1 Corinthians 12:30 contradicts it. And Paul is highlighting there the variety and the diversity in the body of Christ. As we speak even now, Bob, there are people in our radio audience and listening online who have the gift of encouragement. Others have the gift of hospitality or the gift of administration, or on and on we could go. There's a variety, a beautiful diversity in the way that the Holy Spirit has gifted us. But even so, we still don't put our confidence in the presence of some gift unless that gift is the Holy Spirit himself. So we go back to the truth of Romans 8:16. His spirit bears witness or testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. How do we know the Spirit's there? Because God promised he would be, because we opened the door. And then, here's the thing, the Spirit did an irreversible work in us, and we need to recognize that. He took out our heart of stone. He gave us a new heart, our old self crucified, a new self raised from the dead. So we're not in danger of waking up one day and not believing. People ask that all the time. Well, what if I stop believing? Well, what if I turn my back on God and depart from Him? Well, you could try to depart from Him, but He'll never depart from you. And we need to know that because these promises are real. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. God does an irreversible work in the giving of His Spirit. It's a knowing, not a feeling.
Yeah, well, thank you, Andrew. Well, let's continue and go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello, and Merry Christmas to you.
Well, thank you. Merry Christmas to you, Mary Jo.
Well, I have a question, and it's this. Can you please explain Galatianism?
Galatianism? We certainly can, and it will be our honor and joy to do so. Andrew, that's a great question. It was a problem that plagued the church 2,000 years ago. It's a problem that plagues the church today. Exactly what is Galatianism?
Yeah, well, you know, you look at the way Galatians is written. I mean, Paul is astonished that they are being suckers for the sales pitch of lifeless religion. He has already taught Jesus Christ crucified. He's already said Jesus is enough. Jesus is all you need. And then many of these Galatians, they are being duped. They're being suckered into hedging their bet. They're saying Jesus plus Moses in their belief system. They're saying Jesus plus law keeping to get right and stay right with God. So by the middle of Galatians, you know, Paul is saying, who has tricked you? Who has bewitched you? Who's pulled the wool over your eyes? Because you were taught the message so clearly, and now you're mixing it with human effort and law keeping. So he says, I want to learn just one thing from you. This is Galatians 3. How did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive God's Spirit by obeying the works of the law? Or did you receive God's Spirit by believing what you heard? Now, the implication as the passage goes on is, well, then, hey, if you received Him by faith, then why are you changing methods now? Why do you think that you're going to receive salvation freely as a gift by believing, and then 20 minutes later, you're going to employ human effort to try to grow up in Christ? Well, that's a total contradiction, and the Galatians needed to know that. So, Bob, you know, Galatianism, by definition, 2,000 years ago, was the mixture of law and grace and a compromising of the gospel by having a twofold message. One way, perhaps, for some to get saved, and then another way to grow. And quite frankly, some were ruining both aspects. They were saying, well, you get right by Moses and you stay right by Moses. So there were two errors going on 2,000 years ago in this city. First, some were saying you get right by what you do instead of by what Jesus has done. And then secondly, others were saying that you stay right and that you grow and that you perfect yourself by what you do instead of by dependency on Jesus Christ. So they were fine-sounding distractions of religiosity. They were not the gospel truth.
Mary Jo, does that answer your question?
Well, it does sort of help. I mean, they were mixing the law of Moses with the grace of Christ.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And how do we get under the law? Like they say, it still plagues the church today. How does it still plague the church today?
Well, Mary Jo, it doesn't have to. It's our choice. So when someone decides they want Jesus to live in their heart, and then 5 days or 5 months or 5 years or 50 years later, they decide, well, I'm getting nervous. I'm getting nervous about growing up in Jesus. Maybe I'm not growing fast enough. Maybe I'm not learning enough. Maybe I'm not behaving enough. So I'm going to be nervous and then choose the law to try to make myself better. And I think that is how we could be duped by that sales pitch. You know, any one of us in moments where we choose self-improvement and when we choose rule-keeping instead of a living, vibrant dependency on Jesus, well, that's sin. It's sin not to depend on Christ. And so that's what the Galatians were doing. That's what any one of us could do today. So does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas to you, Andrew.
Merry Christmas.
Well, thanks, Mary Jo. We always love hearing from you.
Yes,
Bob?
We do. Well, you know, we're 1 week away from Christmas, guys, and we're in the final days of the home stretch for reaching our financial goal of about $250,000 by the end of the month. Bob, talk to the listeners just a little bit about that.
Well, one, we have a great matching gift challenge, and we're so excited about that. It's a $62,000 matching gift challenge. We had a target of $250,000 to hit before December 31st. We're well into that, and this matching gift challenge will just move it ever closer. So you have a chance right now to double the impact of your gift. So if you give $100, it's like giving $200. If you give $500, it's like giving $1,000. If you give $1,000, it's like giving $2,000. So take advantage of this opportunity to double your impact and to impact more people with the good news of Jesus Christ, to really connect people to his love and grace. And we're excited about the response that has taken place so far, and we're looking forward to that continued good response all the way through December 31st to really set the stage for a good and strong 2020.
Well, friends, we hope you'll join us, and you can do that right now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri. Talk to Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys. I was listening to not any kind of program like this, but it was kind of a question and answer program. And a person called in about, and I believe he was hitting at someone who gets saved and continues to practice a particular sin, regardless of what it was. And the guy asked, does this person ever have to stop practicing sin? And I'm putting practicing there because I've heard, you know, you and Andrew and Bob have taught practicing sin is basically what it means if you continue sinning, is a practicing of sin. At some point in time, how would you have answered this particular fella? I know I'm not just talking about a sin here or stumbling in many ways. I'm talking about a continual practice of a sin that the person doesn't think he needs to stop, or some people even get moved into leadership with these kinds of problems. Can you talk about that, please?
Well, certainly, Brad. I think the first thing is to realize that that word practicing, when John uses it, for example, in 1 John chapter 3, he's talking about a lifestyle of the unrighteous, the lifestyle of a sinner. So they're dead in trespasses and sin. They followed the ways of this world. They live to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's their lifestyle. That's their practice. That's their day-to-day realm in which they live. Well, we've been taken out of that realm. We are no longer numbered with the unrighteous. We have become righteous in Jesus Christ, and God's Spirit lives inside of us. So we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Now, sometimes we're going to stumble and give in to the desires of the flesh, but that doesn't define who we are, and that's not our practice as children of God. Now, Andrew, he was speaking about somebody that it sounds like is trapped in a particular sin, and maybe wants to hold on to that even after coming to know Christ. What do we say about that?
Yeah, well, I think you nailed it in terms of what John is saying. First, I just want to emphasize John is a book of contrasts. And so when we read, oh, well, believers love one another, then we say, well, how much loving am I supposed to do? How much loving do I need to do in order to prove my salvation? And what we're seeing there is love and hate are contrasted. So do you have an innate hate for other believers? Well, if you have an innate hate for Christians, then that would be a good sign that maybe the Spirit of God doesn't live in you. So do you see, it even says, John at one point even says, this is how things are obvious. They're made plain. They're clear. John's not trying to confuse things or muddy the waters. He doesn't want us to count up how many times we've loved people in order to prove our salvation. Neither does he want us to have a chart with two columns regarding our practice. Well, how many times today have I practiced righteousness? How many times have I practiced sin? And then we keep our score and try to determine if we're saved. He never intended that. This is nature talk. This is a new trend that has been reversed in every believer. So you've got the person in Corinth who's having inappropriate relations with his father's wife. Paul says, you know, he needs to be dismissed from this congregation, but his spirit will be saved. And I hope he learns his lesson. And then in 2 Corinthians, it seems that he does learn his lesson, and he's sorrowful for what he did, and he's restored to fellowship with other believers. But God never left him. He never lost his salvation. So what we're seeing there is a person who is born again, and we as believers have a new practice. But, you know, the Bible says if someone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore them gently. Watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. So Paul's telling the entire congregation there, hey, restore somebody. Go talk sense to them, you know, and do what you can to reason with them. But also remember that you could fall in this. So any Christian is capable of any sin at any time. And we need to allow room for baby Christians, those who are newborn in Christ, those who are learning and growing. We all have old fleshly attitudes at times. Any of us can be ensnared or trapped in a sin, just like Galatians 6:1 talks about. So still, though, Bob, you know, no matter what we might be trapped in at a particular period in our lives, we by nature have a new practice, because he who began a good work in us is going to carry us on to completion.
Well, great answer, Andrew. Earl has this question, a Facebook listener, and he wants to know what we mean by the heart. When we talk about the heart, the fact that we've been given a new heart, he wants to know, does this refer to our emotions, our intellect, or will? If not that, what exactly is this new heart of ours that we've been given in Christ Jesus? And we've got about a minute.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're talking about a spiritual heart. I mean, obviously, we don't go up to the local hospital and get cut open and they don't find this heart. This is a spiritual heart. And the way that it's used in the New Testament, it has to do with our seat of desire. So God took out our old passions, our old desires, and he implanted new desires. The Bible tells us Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Romans 6 says we have an obedient heart. So guys, it's awesome to think about the fact that we're compatible with God now, new desires, new passions, a new spiritual heart.
And that brings us right back to our opening, this statement that we made. If you are a believer, Jesus lives in you, and he cannot live in an unclean vessel. That speaks of this new heart that we have in Christ Jesus. This Emmanuel, God with us, is such great news, and we hope you celebrate it well this Christmas season.
Absolutely. Well, friends, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have questions you'd like to pose to us, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Also, thanks to everyone who helps in supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. Until December 31st, every single dollar you give, up to $62,000, will be doubled to help us take this life-changing message far and wide. Please help with your largest gift today by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And as you make your December gift, we'll send you the Basic Gospel 2020 calendar with memes for every month to help you share the truth of the gospel through social media. But for sure, let's work together to meet that $62,000 Grace Matching Gift Challenge. We hope you'll make your great gift right now at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry staff, and with thanks to Andrew Farley for being available to us today, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.